All right, let me try to help everybody for the 19th time on trying to understand, or maybe being able to relate this back to coworkers, on the difference between search incident to arrest of a motor vehicle and arresting somebody and searching a vehicle that contains probable cause. And I'm going to run off and rattle off some cases off the top of my head as I'm driving into the office today. And for New Jersey specifically, but also for the rest of the state, it's the same rules as long as you have the automobile exception. All right, so first thing is, we had a case in 2006 that came out. It's called State v. Eckel, right? And basically what it says, years ago, if you, a lot of you don't know that you weren't around during the time prior to 2006 in New Jersey or 2009 for the rest of the country, when you arrested somebody on a traffic warrant, you get to search the whole car incident to arrest. Even if the car had no PC attached to it, it was considered like a backpack or their pockets. You got to search the entire car as incident to arrest. Well, we lost that in 2006, okay? And then the rest of the world lost that in Arizona v. Gant in 2009. Anyway, see, the problem is when people hear one piece of case law and they don't understand the other case law that exists, they get confused. And I'm here to try to help you clear up some confusion. And if you're dealing with a coworker that may misunderstand this, you can show them this video. I tell you things that are accurate. It is really important for me to be accurate. So let's go into a different scenario. If you pull over a car and you walk up to the car and there's a bag of heroin on the front passenger seat floorboard and the guy has a traffic warrant for his arrest. Well, certainly now you have probable cause to search the car. And for New Jersey, it's probably going to be just the passenger compartment only. The rest of the country, you know, you get the whole entire car. But in New Jersey, so you can make the arrest, bring the guy back, put him in the back of the car, and you can go back and search the car. Let's take DWI, State versus Ireland, I-R-E-L-A-N, not like the country, but it's like the country without the D. So you can have a DWI arrest and then go back and search the car for the PC or the contaminants or the intoxicants that the person's possibly on. And I have to advocate that if you're not doing that, if you're not doing a 450 and then going back and searching the car for if it's alcohol open containers or if it's CDS related, like an opiate or whatever it may be, you've determined the person's impaired for SFSTs and your suspicion is an opiate. If you're not going back and searching those cars after you arrest the person and determine that they have been intoxicated, you're making a huge mistake. And believe me, I talk to thousands of guys every year and girls in my classes, and I ask questions about, like, hey, has anybody ever had a problem with this? Whatever it may be, whatever, you know, we ask a few questions here and there. And the overwhelming, I've never had somebody say to me, yeah, no, we had a guy who was driving high on heroin. We arrested him, searched his car, found CDS, and then it was suppressed. It never has happened yet. It's not happened once. So I don't know where everybody gets off thinking that, you know, like there's not a correlation. People get confused. They don't understand that, okay, yes, you cannot search a car incident to arrest without PC, but when PC exists and you have the automobile exception, you can search the, you know, you can search the car. You have the vehicle search. Read Ireland, read the rulings on it. It's just one of those things that guys continuously get confused on. You want, and read State versus William Witt. In it, it says, when you, just because a police officer secures a person, puts them in the back of the car, transports them back to the headquarters, doesn't mean the PC diminishes. You're still allowed to search the car on the side of the road. All right, once you tow a car, remember this for the people who are new in the group in New Jersey, once you tow a car, you lose agency. So you're going to have to go for a warrant or consent at that junction. But a canine hit establishes probable cause. Probable cause is the one half needed or the only thing needed to search a readily movable motor vehicle on an unforeseen and spontaneous motor vehicle stop. That's a New Jersey standard. And probably for the rest of the country, you don't need the unforeseen and spontaneous, but a readily movable motor vehicle. They're saying the car is inherently exigent. Remember, there's two things you need for a warrantless search in the country, in the United States. That's probable cause and exigent circumstances. But you got to remember, the car is automatic. Anything with a motor vehicle. Somebody asked me yesterday, hey, is a bike a motor vehicle? No, in New Jersey, you can't get a DWI in a bike. It doesn't have a motor. So I'm going to tell you, you can't search a bike because it's not a motor vehicle. You'll have to go for consent or a warrant for the bike. I don't know how many times you guys are running into bikes and what's attached to a bike that you need to search it. I don't know. But But that was the question was posed. But is a moped a motor vehicle? Sure. Is a motor scooter, is a motorcycle, is a motor home? Yes. I mean, as long as the motor home is not fixated to something and locked in, you know, like one of these, I guess like double wides that don't move. Yeah, you're going to have that. So don't get confused. I see this happening all the time. You get older guys who do not understand or read one piece of case law and then think it applies to everything. You must know all these things. It's important for everybody to be very well versed with this because you're making improper decisions in the field when you don't know what you're doing. And you're doing a disservice to yourself and taking the safe route's not always the best route, right? You may take the safe route and it may be the wrong route. You may cost somebody their life. It's your obligation as a police officer. I know that you're in this group because you want to be better. You want to know better. You want to not get hung up. What do we do? What do we do? You should hear these videos. Take time to research yourself outside of these videos. You can have my power, whatever you want. PowerPoints. I don't care. I just want to see you guys all doing things correctly. And you have an obligation to know these things. You should know this stuff. You should know what you're doing. So hopefully that cleared some stuff up. I'm in the car. I just pulled up to the office here. I will try to remember because we have a whole big staff meeting this morning. I will try to remember to add the cases that I referenced in here and read them. Like, don't just say, oh, yeah. Like, if you're going to go back and speak to a coworker and say, hey, look, I think you're wrong. Here's why. Hand these people. We're writing these. I'm publishing articles now. You can print these articles and you can hand them to people and say, hey, I think it's a good thing that we read all this stuff. It's all accurate and true. Just don't know why nobody's following it or nobody takes the time to learn it, because I guess the bar is set. If we can make it, hey, look, it's better safe than sorry, right? Oh, we're really pressing the gray line there. You're not. There is no gray line. When you know what you're doing, there's no gray line. This is not push. When you have a supportive administration and good air cover, there is no gray line. It's police work. We follow the rules that we're supposed to follow. If you know how to employ them correctly with correct tactics, you can be very effective. You don't have to be scared and run and hide. That being said, see you guys later.